This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Thanks again to Eno Saris. He was definitely preaching to the choir when it came to more local broadcasters in the playoffs. It's kind of a crime that we don't get to hear from Mud and Don at all. Glad that we still got Jesse and Tony throughout the postseason, and that's great. And, you get to listen to them, and if you're really good, you can sync it up and go that way. But it should be more automatic. It should be easy for baseball fans to pick Jesse or pick Don and just be able to watch the games. And I don't think it even has to be on Apple. They should be able to do it on TBS or Fox or wherever you're watching the games. Alternate channel, same feed, same commercials, but you get a different announcer. It's just would add to the viewer's experience. I don't think the cost would be really that much for the networks. I mean, my guess would be that Don and Mud would love to be working those games. That you're not going to have to, double their salary to get them to work a few postseason games. They'd probably, given the choice, they'd rather work than not work and just sit and watch those games. So
I've said before, I'd be fine even if they did something. And I know there's contracts and, guys work for TBS versus ESPN or whatever. But if the networks would just pay for the home team, they get to broadcast those games. At will contracts or whatever, one day contract at a time. Just pay them per game. Then you get Joe Davis when the Dodgers are hosting, but then you get Don and Mud on FS1 or whatever.
Works for me.
When it's a home game here in San Diego.
I understand the desire for a neutral national broadcast, if possible. I mean, obviously you can't with Joe Davis calling Dodgers games, but, with a Mets-Brewers series, you can have a neutral national broadcaster, but I want to hear, if I'm a Brewers fan, I want to hear, Bob Uecker or my Brewers broadcasters. If I'm a Met, I want to hear Gary Cohen. I just figure out a way, no matter what the channel is, to have those home broadcasters still be able to work during the postseason.
Look, you listened on the All-Star uniforms. Listen on this, okay? You fixed it. Everyone realized your cream All-Star uniforms were terrible, and you're going to go back to the way it was, and it's going to be better. It's very simple. Figure it out.
Paulie's actually got a story about quick responses to, sports situations. You can actually act. If you have enough motivation and enough drive,
you can do it.
You can actually act to do something. And we'll get to that here in the Rundle Report.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rundle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rundle Report. With Paul Reindel.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Reindel Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a hoy?
All right. Thank you, Carving Guy. We'll start off with that story, Benjamin. Earlier in the week, probably Monday, we were talking a little college football, and we talked about the big win over Ohio State. It came down to the very end, and Oregon, there's a little bit of speculation. Was this planned? Was this not planned? They put 12 men on the field because of the 10-second runoff, and it ended up working out in their favor. And Dan Lanning did say, the head coach for Oregon, you practice wild scenarios for like the end of the game, end of the half, whatever, like all the time. Most of them, you never encounter that situation. This was one that the opportunity showed itself, and we had practiced this.
Crazy, man.
And we knew exactly what we wanted to do. Now, they didn't break any rules. They found a loophole.
So they did break a rule, but it was one they were willing to break.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. You can't have 12 men
you
on
can't.
The field.
They were penalized.
But they realized the penalty for breaking the rule was was less punishing than the advantage of breaking the rules.
Yes. So the NCAA yesterday announced that they have issued a new rules interpretation on how to handle when there are 12 men on the field in the final 2 minutes of either half. So it says if the defense has 12 players actively participate in the down, then the offense can choose, along with the 5-yard penalty, to have the game clock reset back to the time that was on the clock before the snap.
Easy fix.
Very easy fix.
Easy fix.
Now, they said, look, it's kind of open to interpretation, but if a guy is clearly running off the field and trying to get off, that's not actively participating. They're not purposely trying to have 12 men on the field if he's running off. So a little bit of room there. But, yeah. NCAA saw that. It was in a top, you know, what was it, 2-3 on Saturday? So, huge game, a lot of eyeballs. Oregon found a loophole. That loophole has been closed by the NCAA.
So, they fixed that in, what, 4 days?
Yeah.
4 days. They saw a problem, and they fixed it. All right, now do the transfer portal.
Yes.
Put your mind to it.
They're like, nah.
And figure this out, because it's a mess. And I'm not, again, I think college athletes should have the ability to move schools. If they don't want to be at a school, if they can get other offers, that's fine. But the way it is right now with the windows to transfer, with players opting out in December before playoffs and bowl games because they've already been approached by other schools in basketball, the window opens during the NCAA tournament. It's like, all right, we're still playing games, and we've got players transferring out and transferring in all over the place.
Whatever happened with that UNLV quarterback? Remember
I think he's redshirting now and waiting for a better offer somewhere else.
Interesting.
They said the Circa CEO said, "I'll give him."
Remember, he was like $100,000.
I'll give him his $100,000, and the NCAA or UNLV said, "No, we can't." Can't just do that. Take $100,000 from a casino and give it to a player. That seems a little unsavory, doesn't it? But, you know, like, even San Diego State's already facing it. I saw a piece in the UT. They have the leading sacker in the nation.
I saw that
Trey
the other
White,
day.
Sophomore, leads the nation by far.
So he wants out.
Like 11 sacks. No, he said, hey, I'm not thinking about anything. But they already know. Alabama, Georgia, they're all going to come. I mean, he can't go in the draft yet. He's just a sophomore. They're all going to come with giant NIL offers. You know, he could be the foundation for the Aztecs next year, and there's like zero chance they're going to be able to keep him.
Very cool.
It's not a great situation to be in when you're one of those schools.
It's
he's
not just
playing
football
too
either.
Well.
I'm starting to get into Aztec basketball season, and I saw that they have like the preseason freshman of the year in Pharaoh Compton, Magoon Guap, I'm talking with some buddies, and we're all just like, the way the structure is now, like they're gonna, if they have one good year, they're gone.
Yeah.
And not just for the NBA. Like, they're going to go get
more NIL
money.
They lost Lamont Butler. They lost Elijah Saunders. They lost, I mean, there's basketball where the Aztecs do compete on a national level.
Keyshawn
in football,
Johnson.
it's even harder. Now, here's the negative part that no one's talking about, potentially for the students. Let's say you know Trey White's going to be a really good star, but you kind of want to keep him for next year. All of a sudden, you have to think as a coach, do I want him to really excel and show all these sacks? Maybe I should put him in a less advantageous situation right this year so he doesn't get all these offers. And then next year when I've got a better team, then I unleash him. And now you've got a situation where
that seems
coaches aren't, it's not in their best interest for guys to necessarily have great seasons because they're going to lose them. So you got to hide players and like not show them off as much. And that would be bad for the student athletes if coaches kind of started thinking chess and going,
I think Brian Dutcher is going to be halfway through this, 3 weeks into the season. Hey, Pharaoh, you're averaging like 30 a game. We're going to need to tone it down.
We can't afford what you're going to get in NIL next year, so we're going to have to cut down on your minutes and
Don't think it won't happen, man.
Yeah. Absolutely it would happen.
All right, over to Major League Baseball. Britt Giroli from The Athletic had a story yesterday that Jerry Reinsdorf is at least open to the idea of selling the Chicago White Sox.
So he's willing to take billions of dollars in exchange for his team.
Worst team in baseball.
I don't have the list, but what would you guess even the worst team in baseball is valued at?
$3 billion.
Yeah.
Call $3 billion?
Yeah,
something like that.
He bought the club in 1981 for $20 million.
Okay. Yeah. That seems like a lot
so
of money.
So he's willing he's willing to accept that percentage increase profit on his team. Yeah. Very, very generous of you, Jerry.
He is 88 years old. They good just God. Had he is a controversial team owner. They have the worst season. Always has been. You're right, 100%. Just like the worst season in Major League Baseball history. And apparently he's been talking to a group that is led by Dave Stewart.
Yes, Dave Stewart has he really wants to.
Former Padres pitching coach Dave Stewart.
One of the scariest human beings to face, I would imagine. If anybody ever faced him.
He's scary to talk to.
We interviewed him, I think, once.
He's
intimidating. Terrifying.
I was just reading more about Reinsdorf possibly selling. That's the story.
Now, Dave Stewart doesn't have a ton of money, so he needs
he's part of a group.
He needs someone to back him, he'd be the front of the group.
Scary. You will. He's the guy that goes in and closes the deal.
Yeah.
You will sign here. I actually got a couple other things.
No, you're signing.
Dave Stewart's
you're
also signing. Been part of that group that's been trying to get a team to Nashville. Like he wants to be involved in ownership.
Well, you do wonder then if that's the move.
You leave Chicago?
Leave Chicago
for Nashville?
I don't. But
bigger market for a smaller market.
But I mean, you corner the market. You know, there's two teams in Chicago. Chicago, they're not drawing. I mean,
it's a Cubs town.
It's Cubs town.
Yeah,
that would be nuts. I mean, I would hate it every second of it, but.
There's a paragraph here talking
that
about
that could be it.
All of the accomplishments. There have been accomplishments in Reinsdorf's, 44 years of ownership. Them winning the World Series in 2005, that's so forgettable to me. I remember it.
I know they beat
the Cardinals.
But you know who doesn't forget that? White Sox fans.
100%.
They got one. We don't.
Yeah.
They got one.
So we'll Danny also has all those Bulls titles that he's won as an owner
100%.
As well.
Right.
That's probably more important to him, I would think.
Yeah, Adam says Nashville has a ton of money. Yeah, I mean, Nashville is a very burgeoning market. I would not mind seeing a team there. I just hope it's not. I hope it's an expanded team and not a team ripped from a city. Though the 17 fans that went to White Sox games, I don't know that they would mind, but they would come out in droves like the A's fans did, certainly. Nobody wants to lose their team.
So we're going to Philadelphia next year as a show to see Citizens Bank Park. If Nashville got a team, that would be next on my list to go. I want to go to Nashville.
You would. Why?
I want to see Nashville.
Oh,
love
you,
it.
All right.
I've never been there.
So much fun.
I'm a little old for it. We're a little old for
it. Are
that.
We?
Yes.
Yeah, I went when I was 21.
But there's got to be places for us as well. They can't all be... You know,
Kid Rock's bar.
Yeah,
I'd love to see Ben raging at Kid Rock's bar.
Yeah, I went there in 2011. That phenomenon of every singer having their own bar hadn't quite taken off yet. Now it's, Luke Bryan's bar is right next to Jason Aldean's bar, which is across the street from.
They do have my alley, man.
They do have clever names usually, I love this bar.
Yes.
Stuff like that. Bar. Yeah.
I mean, you don't like places like that?
No, I don't want to go to those places.
So,
I want to eat fried chicken and, things that are no hot chicken, Nashville, things like that.
Brandon says, Ben throwing chairs off rooftops like Morgan Wallen. No, I'll sign up for that. If he promises if we go to Nashville that he's going to go buck wild down on Broadway,
that
then
might be
fine.
Fun. Get him some boots.
Adam says, one of my musician friends is in his 50s, plays the music scene. He says it's a blast. I have no doubt it's a blast. No, none whatsoever. My brother-in-law plays the music scene in Nashville. It's insane, though. Ben in an insane Nashville. I don't know if it is what you think it is. I think it's too much for you to handle is what I'm telling you.
Well, the winter meetings always look fun when they're in that giant Opryland hotel place.
You're more of a...
check that out, too.
You're more of a let's go check out Portland guy, in my opinion.
I've been to Portland. I like Portland.
Yeah, there you go. Said that.
Got it. All right, well, actually, speaking of music, that leads right into my third story. Saw this TikTok going around yesterday about Rihanna and one of her earlier, she's one of the biggest stars on the planet.
This blew my ever-loving mind,
this was amazing.
By the way. This blew my mind.
SOS, one of her earlier top singles in her career, probably 06, 07, if I had to guess. You've heard the song, but one of the writers of the song was being interviewed on some podcast.
This is brilliant.
And this clip went viral about how an entire verse of this extremely popular song. Well, I'm just going to let the audio play for itself here.
I wrote it. I had no idea what I was doing.
SOS, be someone now.
The whole second verse of that song is 80 song titles strung together as sentences because I thought it would be super clever. Take on me, aha. Take on me. You know inside you feel it right. You know inside you feel it right. Take me on. Take me on. I could just die up in your arms tonight. Could just die up in your arms tonight. I melt with you. You got me head over heels. You got me head over heels.
It's unreal.
But boy, you keep me hanging on the way you make me feel.
I know these songs.
They're all number one songs from the 80s.
That's incredible. I had no idea about
that. No one
does.
It's like a massive incorporator is what he did. He just took the charts from the 80s. Was like
number one song after number one song. So it's like almost subliminal. You're like, well, I know all of those songs.
Oh, these are really catchy.
And it was it took a sample of Tainted Love in the whole song. So it's like, huh, heard that. And I go, never in a million years would have picked up on that. But it was
very subtly done.
It's brilliant. And I mean, I think. You know, and like he said, I had no idea. He goes, yeah, nobody did. Nobody did.
Genius.
Pretty genius. One long, giant incorporator
and
for that
been
song.
Like 20 years now almost since that song came out.
I don't remember that song, but it still is a very, very fascinating way to write a song.
Now I want to see Bernie Taupin try to incorporate all the other Elton John song titles into one more Elton John song.
In the verse. Like, you could do it with Country Right Now. You could do, like, I'm Not Okay by Jelly Roll. I'm Not Okay, a bar song. I'm tipsy, a lot more free. It's my first rodeo. You look like you love me. I had some help. I'm on a winning streak. Those are, like, the top 10 country songs right there. I got miles on it past yesterday. There ain't no love in Oklahoma, 'cause I'm gonna love you on that lonely dirt road. Take a bow on the high road and love me back. Mine down in Austin, my boots stop working. I never lie, 'cause I'm stuck on you. That's literally like 15. That actually is. Yeah.
Speaking of Nashville, you're ready.
That's as good as anything you're going to hear down the hall. That's as good. Okay?
Get you down.
Don't go breaking
road.
My heart, Rocket Man. Can you feel the love tonight? Yeah. Hold me closer. I'm still standing.
So good, dude. So he said that guy would smoke Woods and take on Woods. He would murder me, the guy that
he would
that
be a
song.
Really good murder. Take on Woods player. Absolutely.
That is so freaking good. I love it.
Very clever. All right, hey, it's Thursday, which means it's time for our football threesome. When we come back,
Are you
ready for Thursday night football with some unfortunate injury updates involving some players from San Diego who won't be on the field tonight. We'll get to that and more coming up next after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. All right, yeah, we were so involved in the Padres playoffs the last couple of weeks, really our sole focus, that we got a little bit away from football season, but
yeah, a little bit.
We are going to get back. There will be football talk on this program, even if it's over, you know, Woods kicking and screaming. You
Me?
Actually do like football.
I like football.
That's the funny thing about it.
Mm-hmm. Not while there's baseball
left. We're definitely more of a baseball show, but we all love football,
sure.
And I think we talk some good football here. And one way we do it every week is our football threesome. Let's get to it.
Can Ben and Woods interest you in a threesome?
A threesome would be fun.
Oh, not that kind of threesome.
Dang it.
We're talking end arounds, the best tight ends in the world.
He must work out.
And going all the way in this game of inches.
Nice.
It's the NFL Threesome with Ben and Woods. Brought to you by Hamul Casino. Fun above all else on 97.3 The Fan.
Personal foul, 69, offense. He's giving them the business.
We always start our football threesome with a look ahead to tonight's Thursday night matchup, kicking off, week 7 of the NFL season already.
Jeez.
I mean, we're almost halfway
home
into the year. The Denver Broncos visiting the New Orleans Saints at Caesars Superdome, which will also play host to the Super Bowl, I believe, at the end of the year this season. And the Saints will be without their top two wide receivers. Both the San Diego products, Chris Olave, is out with a concussion from Mission Hills High School, and Rashid Shaheed from Mount Carmel is having meniscus surgery. And unfortunately for Shaheed, I guess depends on how like how involved the surgery is. If it's just a quick cleanup, he could come back in a couple few weeks. If it's not, he could be out for the season, which would be another blow for a team that started hot. Woods, they won their first two games big.
Yeah.
Then they lost too close. Then they lost by two touchdowns. Then they lost by four, like three or four touchdowns last week. It's been just disintegrating over the last four games for the New Orleans Saints.
So with two playoff games tonight, I'm probably going to pass on Thursday night football.
We got a day game today, so the game will be over by the time. You can do two screens and do one football, one baseball.
I don't have two screens.
I can't. I don't know how to do it.
Picture in picture, anything like that.
I don't like doing it. No, there's no PIP on my thing. So, and you guys fill me in on it tomorrow.
Broncos have had an up and down season. They're 3-3 with a new quarterback, Bo Nix. See how he does against a struggling New Orleans Saints team. All right, second up in our football threesome, most intriguing game of the week.
There's a couple in here.
I mean, I think the first one you look at most obviously is Chiefs 49ers.
Yeah, I actually would have gone.
Chiefs 49ers
easily number one.
I'm going because I'm going Vikings Lions. Man, 5-0 against 4-1. That is an intriguing matchup, Benjamin.
The Vikings have been probably the biggest surprise, at least positive surprise, in the NFL this season with the injuries, the tragedy, losing, you know, J.J. McCarthy before the season even started. Looked like Kevin O'Connell was in a very bad spot. No, they've played great. Sam Darnold's been great.
Sam Darnold!
The Vikings have... if you want to be a head coach in a good situation, have success with Sam Darnold as your quarterback, and you're going to go, all right, there's your coach of the year, no doubt about it. So,
this matchup for me, both in the NFC North. By the way,
Detroit coming off the just annihilation of the Cowboys,
best division in football, as we all speculated, right? The NFC North, 4-2 is your worst team in the Chicago Bears, 4-2 the Packers, 4-1 the Lions, and 5-9.
I agree, kind of, Paulie. Though I think Kansas City's undefeated, but they've been not overwhelmingly good in any of the games, just good enough to keep winning, whereas the 49ers are now 500. They've been riddled by injuries, but they're at home. Kansas City is coming off a bye. Andy Reid is something like 21-4.
Yeah, I saw that.
Coming off of byes, so you know they've got that advantage.
What's the line?
It's a Niners by 1.5 at home.
Yeah, I'll take the Chiefs.
That's the afternoon national game on Fox. And then you got a doubleheader for Monday Night Football as well. Ravens, Tampa Bay on ABC and ESPN, and Chargers and Cardinals only on ESPN Plus. They don't even get to be on television this week. That's how bad things have gotten for the Chargers. You're no longer even televised anymore.
So happy.
It's like the first game ever that wasn't even televised at all. I guess you can say that all the Thursday night games on Amazon Prime are sort of streamed now, but ESPN Plus is...
Is that the bottom of the barrel?
Rough, isn't it?
So I look at him; he's so giddy.
It's kind of rough.
I haven't seen him this giddy in a while.
I'm sorry. I just think it's funny that they're just going to be on ESPN Plus. You have to be a diehard for the ESPN Plus subscription.
Yeah, I have an ESPN Plus.
I do too because I want to read passing, but I'm not.
Mine's to watch the NLL. The National Lacrosse League.
I'm not buying it for a Chargers Cardinals game, I'll tell you that.
It's really not cheap either, by the way.
I mean, with Amazon Prime, you're at least getting, you know, Amazon Prime,
right?
And deliveries and everything. ESPN Plus doesn't bring anything to your door for free.
No, they don't. You can watch all the cool 30 for 30s, though.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. I like those. I do watch the NLL on there, but I'm one of seven that watches the NLL games on there. But it's not cheap either. It's not cheap at all. That's if you want to watch that game. What's your best bet?
All right,
this week?
Last part of the football threesome is the best bet. I'm going to go to the game you mentioned. And while I do like Minnesota, it's still Sam Darnold. Detroit really looked like
they looked like
locked in last week, and they're getting 1.5. I know it's on the road. Give me the Lions. I'll take that 1.5. I think it'll be a close game, but I think Detroit sneaks it out. So I will. I'll pick Detroit as my best bet. Sorry, Kevin O'Connell. We're still friends, I hope.
Paulie, you got one? That Buffalo line's way big. Tennessee's not. They're not great.
They're bad.
They're not great. But are they 9 points bad? Buffalo, I feel like anytime they have a big
number. Once they lost
Derrick
Henry, I think Tennessee lost a lot of their mojo.
All right, then I'll just go. I'll take the Chiefs plus a point.
Coming off the bye and getting 1.5.
Yeah,
all right, we're both taking good road teams getting 1.5.
Yeah. Funny, I'm taking a road team too, and I don't know if this is the best bet of the week for sure because I haven't watched a ton of football, especially Pittsburgh Steelers football, but give me a rejuvenated Aaron Rodgers with his buddy Devontae Adams.
It's a good number.
Taking on the Steelers in Pittsburgh on Sunday Night Football. That line is the Jets minus two. I think they can win by more than two. So I would, I'll take the Jets and the two
Steelers
points.
Are 4-2, and they're still Russell Wilson's healthy-ish now.
That's actually bad.
Yes, it is. Like, and Justin Fields is
just,
like,
that just adds controversy to your quarterback situation you didn't need.
Well, and Justin Fields is like, look, I haven't played great. I think they're like 28th in passing or something. No. But he's like, I haven't played great, but we've won.
We're 4-2.
We're 4-2. Yeah. That's really all that matters in the NFL, man. The style points don't really matter. But now
Jets need to win.
Mike Tomlin coming back and going, hey, maybe Russell Wilson.
Ironically, the Steelers prepared for Devontae Adams last week when they were playing Las Vegas. And now they prepare for him again playing the Jets this week on the new team.
It's still the Jets, though. I always have a hard time betting with the Jets. But I like that. I like that bet, Paulie. There's nothing wrong with that bet. That's a safe bet, I think.
All right, and that is your football threesome brought to you by Hamul Casino. We will be right back. There was one name we didn't bring up. We started the show in our 6 o'clock hour with the discussion of the Padres pitching staff for 2025, possibilities, free agents, in-house options. One name we didn't mention, probably should bring it up. We'll do that when we come back here on 97.3 The Fan. The reviews are in. Our football threesome is a hit. I mean, I'm assuming. I haven't seen any actual reviews. This segment of Ben and Woods is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Buffalo Wild Wings is football, and B-Dubs is kicking off football season with two limited-time sauces. Try their new Buffalo Bacon Sauce for bold notes of smoky bacon, or get the fan-favorite hot barbecue before it's gone. Try them at your local B-Dubs, or order now for takeout and delivery with Buffalo Wild Wings Go. So you're all baseball still today. Two games, 208.
Come on.
5:08, it's American League first and then National League tonight. You could really have both series be comfortably in hand at the end of the day. If it's 3-0 Yankees and 3-1 Dodgers, don't see either of those teams coming back. So feels pretty must win without being eliminated for both the Guardians and the Mets today.
Yeah.
I think one of them gets a win. I don't know which one, but I think one of them gets a win today. They're not both going to be quick series.
Yamamoto on the bump for the Dodgers against whom?
Quintana.
Quintana. Good pitcher.
Good. Yeah.
So that could be it. And then it's Matthew Boyd, who was really good
against Clark Schmidt.
Against Clark Schmidt. That one could go. That one could go. The Guardians.
I don't think both home teams are losing.
Someone's got to hit. Mets had multiple opportunities to bust it last night. They just couldn't do it. Had the right guy at the dish too, and
had some insane defense.
Some insane defense. Some really poor defense on the Mets' part as well early. But there was one Pete hit I thought was gone. Wind kept it up, and another one I think Lindor hit deep into the gap. That one didn't fly. And then of course Kike of all people launches one out, and we all saw what Shohei did.
Keep in mind, this was announced, I think, a little over a month ago, but the World Series is scheduled to begin next Friday with Game 1. But if both of the series wrap up in 5 games or less, which is still possible, if the Dodgers win the next 2 and the Yankees win 2 of the next 3, the World Series would start instead on Tuesday next week, October 22nd. So we could actually be 5 days away from the start of the World Series if both of these series wrap up in the next couple of days.
That's nuts.
Because then they wouldn't want to have a whole week in between with no games.
Yeah.
So they have a little flexibility built in there. But if either series goes at least 6, then we're waiting until next Friday for Game 1 of the World Series.
I would like to see more baseball. So I would like to see more wins. I'd like to see a win for the Mets today. I'd like to see a win for the Guardians today. I want more baseball games.
You want baseball to be more like soccer, like not just the year-round, but you have like the tournaments and other things that you just keep playing.
No, I'm actually fine with the length of the season and the postseason. But once it gets to the postseason, I don't want sweeps and I don't want 4-1s. I want some long, grindy, good baseball games. I still see people tweeting like, I have not watched 1 second. I couldn't do it. My brain is not wired that way. You know, it's just I love the postseason. I love it so much. I'm such a bad parent and husband around this time. I take no care of myself during this. I just prepare for baseball games, whether my team's in it, whether they're not. I love it so much. Last night, Dad, are you throwing grounders? No.
I mean, it was just one throw game yesterday at 5 o'clock. There's not time during the day before that that you can't.
I could, but I'm not going
to. Spend time with your kids, get a little exercise in, and then still watch the entire game. It's not a 24-hour thing.
It's a state of mind. It's just that it's a weird. It is a weird. It's a weird state of mind that
I
sit in.
If the Padres still in it, I get it.
I don't know why.
For the other games, that really doesn't make any sense.
No, I'm just ready for all day for playoff baseball. It's all I love it. I love it so much. Yes, a long, veiny postseason.
This is something that Hannah should be able to complain about in marriage counseling.
Today, she'll have her opportunity in about an hour and a half. Right. Yeah, she can drop the hammer on it.
Therapist is like, well, the Padres are still in it, right?
Nope.
No, actually, they've been eliminated for a week now.
He doesn't even like the teams that are left. He doesn't like the Dodgers. He doesn't like the Mets that much, yet he still is obsessed with it.
I pulled the last night, which Hannah said, hey, are you going to do something? I go, no, I'm working right now. Sorry, this is my job. She just looks at me and like, technically you're right, but you're also an a-hole, you know, technically. I don't know what, man. I love it. 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 I can't do without it. I don't want to miss anything. I don't want to miss a big home run. I don't want to miss a guy dropping a pop fly. I mean, the weirdest stuff happens in playoff baseball and everybody's tight. Everybody's tight. Everybody's doing things they don't normally do. It just managers, you know, Walker Buehler last night, cruising. He's just cruising. He's swing and miss, 15 swing and miss. Four innings in, Dave's like, you're out. You know, you're out. They talked about it on the broadcast. You never see that in the regular season. If Walker Buehler did that in May, he's cruising out. He's going to go
again,
get the top.
I love your passion. I still will be able to hop on the Peloton, probably have lunch with my kids.
Can't do it.
And watch the entire game because it doesn't start for another 5 hours.
I'm going to go home. I'm going to sit on my ass. I have marriage counseling. I'm going to do that. But
are you sure you don't want to skip that today and say, you know, I couldn't? Why couldn't? Well, he had to watch the baseball game. Oh, it was on at the same time. No, it's not for several hours from now.
No, that I can do. That I can do. I just can't. I don't. When it ends, the depression that sinks in for me is so palpable. It's just so like, oh God. I love everything about the season, man. I love it. 162 plus spring training plus playoffs. I can't get enough. It's my greatest, outside of my family, it's my greatest love is baseball.
All right. There was one name we didn't bring up in our Padres pitching discussion, and it definitely is worth mentioning again. We'll get to that right after our last check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So it was pointed out last hour by Eno Saris that the Padres are still pretty up against it when it comes to the 2025 competitive balance tax, luxury tax threshold with the current payroll, assuming, you know, the arbitration eligible players get about what you figure they're going to get, and they don't, you know, remove any players from their roster that are eligible to be on the team next year. The Padres are already either, you know, just a few million under to a couple of million over, depending on which calculations you use. We don't know what the payroll is going to be like. We don't know if the Padres are willing to go over, but, you know, assuming that there is at least some budgetary responsibility, and you're trying to fill out a pitching rotation. We talked about some of the free agent options that were out there. Eno liked Alex Cobb as like a possibility. You know, Justin Verlander on a one-year rental. Pivetta was one he really liked, but probably is going to be more of a multi-year deal guy. The one name we didn't bring up, we talked about him last week. We don't know what the plan is for him in Japan, is Roki Sasaki. Boy, does he work under a number of different
changes
different perspectives, because not only is he a potential ace pitcher, but he is one that does not really impact your luxury tax at all. He would give him your international signing bonus, which doesn't have anything to do with your luxury tax, and then you would pay him essentially the minimum. And so you could have potentially an all-star without even a smidge really hurting your luxury tax number. I mean, he's such a game changer if he comes over. It goes without saying that if he ends up leaving Japan and coming to the United States, the Padres, like just about every other team, will be all in on Roki Sasaki. And whoever gets him, it can completely change the course of their 2025 season. Fair?
Yeah, I'm bracing myself.
So. Well.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. And he could go to the Dodgers.
Oh, yeah.
Very easily. Or the Giants.
Oh, yeah.
Or the Yankees.
Oh, yeah.
Red Sox. Anywhere.
Chicago.
But the Padres do have a couple of you know, advantages when it comes to trying to sign him.
He wants wore a Padres shirt, yes. And he knows you.
He loves you.
AJ Preller learned Japanese.
And AJ Preller learned Japanese.
And loves that stat.
I'm gonna dig a hole for myself if he goes to LA. I mean, just dig a hole in the backyard. Where's Woodsy? He's in the hole. That's my wait. That's where
I don't think it makes the Padres
in the backyard. Just
overwhelming favorites.
Was he coming to work today? Nope. He's in his hole.
But between the West Coast location, between Yu Darvish, you know, having other Japanese players on the team, it's not the Padres aren't in a bad position.
No.
If that option does materialize.
I need to do a little refresher course on the luxury tax and how it all works and what penalties and what tiers and all that. It as soon as you talk about it, it really leaves my brain once we get the season underway. And then, but this is that time of year where you want to be well versed in it. I'm not great at it. But again, you can't, it's foolish to speculate on what your team's going to do until you really know their intentions.
But we will never know the Padres' intentions. They don't talk about their intentions. They don't talk about the luxury tax.
The only way you can know their intentions is to see what they do.
Right.
Like, you have to assume their intentions.
We now know, let's turn the clock back 9-10 months to before the season, going, what do you think the Padres' payroll is going to be, Woods? I mean, are they going to try to cut salary, obviously? How much are they going to cut? Well, they can't possibly cut so much as to get under the luxury tax. Now, knowing what we know, it's a very obvious answer. The Padres wanted to reset their luxury tax, and they took the steps necessary to shed over $90 million in payroll to do so. But they never said that beforehand. We only know that now because of where their payroll ended at the end of the season. I mean, I guess you could say, no, we really weren't trying to get under the luxury tax. It just, you know, these are just the players we wanted, and that's how it worked out. I'd be very skeptical. I think they did it on purpose, and, you know, they were very successful in doing it.
You know, but you say that when we would have Peter on, we would ask him, are you comfortable going over the luxury tax? And he would say, yes, I'll get players as needed. Like, he would say it. It's a different regime now. We don't really know what they're planning on doing. And I guess you can only judge them by their actions.
We also don't know whether getting under the luxury tax was more of a financial consideration for ownership or more of a competitive balance. Like, we don't want to lose any more draft picks. We don't want to lose any more international money. We cannot sustain the other penalties if we want to keep putting a consistent good roster on the field in the future. Both of those are considerations, but the Padres have never really shed any light as to their motivations behind what they do when it comes to, you know, their payroll level.
Well, and the interesting thing is, if there's two sides, right, and it, you know, you all want to picture everyone working on the same page and for the ultimate goal, but there are two sides. There's ownership, and then there's general manager, president of baseball ops, like. There's a directive that needs to be handed down. The directive that was handed down last year was, this is what we're going to do. Now, again, these are all private meetings, but this is what we're going to do. You know you're going to have to trade Soto. Let's get Max return. That worked out pretty well. So AJ did such a good job this year. Such a good job. Wouldn't they then go, all right, well, let's see if you can do it again. You know what I mean?
I don't think they're going to ask him to shed another $90 million.
No, I don't think it's going to be $90 million.
This offseason.
But can't you see somebody saying, hey, man, we have ultimate faith in you. We trust you can get it done. Remember the meeting in Moneyball when he's sitting in there? He's like, you got to give me more. He's like, I can't. I'm not giving you more. So I trust you to put a competitive team on the field. Is that A.J. Preller's lot in life now based on, you know, being spendy early, but then really putting his best team together when under the gun of having to cut all that salary. And he did it. He did the job. So now what are they're not going to ask for, hey, can you do less? Do more. Get better players. Get this. Get that. And you can see it playing out that way. But
I do feel it increases the possibility of a Dylan Cease trade because of not only the fact that the long-term contract is questionable, the last year of the deal, this is your one chance to get value for him. You could avoid perhaps an $18 million or whatever arbitration figure and, you know, sign a couple of other guys to fill those holes and you maybe get some young pitching as well. there is an argument to be made. It's hard to say that the Padres could be better without Dylan Cease than they were this year with him.
No doubt. He was a horse.
But we also said it's hard to say the Padres could be better without Juan Soto than they were without him. And they were.
They were.
Better without Juan Soto.
No question.
Record-wise, it was quite clear. They were 11 games better without Juan Soto than they were with him.
Crazy, man. I never would have thought it. Never.
All right. We will be back tomorrow on a Friday to wrap up your work week starting at 6 a.m. Appreciate everybody who spent the last 4 hours with us on the radio, on the app, on YouTube, wherever it was. Annie and Elston are coming up next. For Paul Reindel and Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday from all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.